Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, white, or black seedless grapes for $1.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Bible Curious Podcast. I'm Amberly Lyons, and today we are talking about whether manifestation is demonic. Is it? This is one of the questions I get asked all the time, and the answer is, you're going to have to listen to find out. The answer basically is, it depends how you approach it. So, and the way that it's framed online, like in this new age phenomenon where it's truly the biggest buzzword right now, it is demonic when you're framing it that way. But there are truths in the Bible that point to a new perspective, a God-centered way of manifesting. And I want to show you guys the elements of new age manifestation and what the Bible says about them and how the Bible frames it in a different but similar way, so we can still practice some of these concepts, but without being demonic, you guys. We are humans, you guys. We're going to have desires, and we're going to want to have a hand in making things happen in our lives. So how do we surrender and let God do the creating? Because, you know, he's kind of good at it. Like, he did create everything. He did create you. So I don't know. I kind of want to be the passenger princess in my life, personally. I'm going to break down just a new way of looking at manifestation, but I'd rather call it receiving miracles. I'm going to call it manifestation for the context of this podcast, and also because that's just ingrained in my brain now, because I've been using that word for years and these concepts for years. But it truly is prayer and receiving miracles from God. That's really all that it is. So we're also going to chat about just the sinful downfalls of New Age manifestation that lead to depravity. And I told you guys in my testimony episode, I'm someone who manifested it all. I was the best New Age manifester out there. It works. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but there is a level of force, you guys. I forced a lot of things to happen in my life and called it manifesting, and it all came with a cost of freedom, joy, my energy, my time. And it doesn't mean that living your will should be easy. I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't make things happen or you shouldn't take action and that you need to just let God do everything and you're just going to sit in a pit and, you know, wait for things to happen. But I want your manifestations to produce real fruit, which can only come from God, you guys. So we're going to be learning about that today too. So the first, what I'm going to do, you guys, is I'm going to take it's really going to be like comparing. So looking at, okay, what do they say in manifestation and what does the Bible say? So the first differentiation that I want to make is the world versus the kingdom. So we can will things to happen with the use of science and math. In the world, in the third dimensional, like the human world, we can make things happen. I can pick something up and put it over there. I can work really hard, make a certain amount of money. Like, we have the ability to do those things. But God surpasses math and science. God surpasses if this, then that. God surpasses if I work X amount of hours, I make X amount of dollars. You know, God surpasses all of that. He is more powerful than all of that. Miracles are so much bigger than that. So when you force something to happen that's not God's will, it's not coming from God. So then who's it coming from? It's usually from the devil. It's usually from the world. If it's not from God, it's not real. Like, that's the way that I see things. So I'm going to be quoting a lot of scripture in this episode, which is why I'm sitting right close up to my screen, because I'm going to be reading a lot. So I'm going to read Ephesians 6:12, which says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So we are in a fallen world. We are in a demonic world. So if the things that we are creating on earth are not from God, then they are from those dark principalities. That is truly what I believe. Then Matthew 16:26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Again, I don't know about you guys, but I was unknowingly really selling my soul to the devil by letting my ego rule everything and forcing and controlling the way I wanted my life to look and be based on what I saw on Instagram and thought that I wanted for my life and thought was going to make me happy. Spoiler alert, it did not make me happy, which is why we're here now. So in the new age, in the world, it's about forcing and controlling. But in the Bible, in the kingdom, it's about receiving miracles, which you need patience. You need faith to do that. So in Psalms 127, verse 1 to 2, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who built it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." Okay, so if you are in God's will, you will feel rested. You will not be toiling. You will not be doing the work in vain. It should feel good. It should be fulfilling. So I really believe that when I'm doing things that I know are in service of the Lord, this podcast, for example, it feels amazing. It doesn't feel like something I have to do. It feels like something I get to do. And I know that big things are going to come out of that. And like I said, I'm not here to say that all the work that I did before was terrible and I hated it, but I will say it burned me out. I was exhausted all the time because I was trying to force this persona or this identity upon myself that was not fully in God's will. Were there things that I was doing that were of service to people, that were helping people? Was that God's will? 100%. But I think the name and the energy in which I was doing it in and the intention for which I was doing it, those were not aligned, which is why there was so much angst. So Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" If you're someone who is always worried about what you're going to wear, like I am, then that is so real. Like, we should not be worrying about the things we're worrying about. When we can be in that faith and that surrender, we will always be sustained. So when we're going and toiling and working and, you know, working our butts off to make something happen and feeling like, if I stop now, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to be able to buy this new outfit, whatever it is. Like, isn't that kind of crazy that we are so hung up on that? Like, that we don't trust that we're going to be sustained, that we are so worried about things that are insignificant. But the truth is, if we surrender it and we're in peace and we're living in God's will and like living our purpose that we came here for, then we will not worry about those things. Like, I will tell you, like, I went from having this 7-figure business, blah, 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 and being stressed out all the time to now, being honest, making way less money and being way less stressed about money somehow, you know? Not to say I don't stress out, not to say that there's not days where I'm like, I wish I could, you know, buy my entire $6,000 Revolve cart. But, you know, these are the lessons. These are the lessons that we need to start paying attention to, is how can I surrender? How can I bring myself to peace right now? How can I have God bring me to peace right now when I'm toiling about something that is not important? So another piece of scripture that I did not write down where it's from. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Oh, this is still from Matthew 6, but it's line 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. And then Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you can focus on God and focus on just being in a state of bliss, being in a state of communion with God, being in a state of communication with God. That peace and that ability to surrender just takes such a weight off of your shoulders, you guys. So another concept in New Age manifestation is you are the creator of your reality. God is the only creator, you guys. Come on. So even in... I know A Course in Miracles is a very unappreciated book when it comes to Christianity. I haven't really looked at the major comparisons. I did do an episode on Chakra Girl Radio a little bit, like comparing the two, but I haven't done like a full deep dive on like comparing misconceptions in the Bible and in A Course in Miracles. One thing I did love about A Course in Miracles was the differentiation between creating and making. So if you're making something, you're forcing it to happen. If you're creating something, it's actually like God creating something in your life. And I know in New Age, there's a lot of people saying co-creation because, yeah, you need to surrender. So your job is really just to surrender and to take the steps that you're being guided to take, but it's actually God doing the creating. So in James 4, 13 to 15, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go in such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So I love how Bible says this or that, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but we can make these plans. But he's the one that's going to make it happen. You know, your will, I believe, is already mapped out for you. You know, we can plan, but he's the one taking the steps. So Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. So that's another thing. Like if we're taking all of the, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. If we're like, it's very vain to think that the things that you've created in your life were done by you. You got out of the way and you let the miracle happen. So yes, you can pat yourself on the back for that. But pride and really not acknowledging and having gratitude for the miracles that God's given you in your life are actually going to block more miracles. And yes, New Age manifestation talks about this, gratitude. If you are not grateful, you're going to block more miracles from coming in. So again, there's so many similarities. It's just a different lens and, you know, the truth. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. We'll talk more about the covenant as well. So God is within you, and the God in you is like, so the Holy Spirit within you is guiding you through the will that the Father God has created for you. So the miracle is happening through you by God. It's not you creating it. And that can feel like your ego might be flaring up being like, oh yeah, I did a lot of work. I did that. Like that was me. But there's actually a big relief in knowing that it's not you doing it, that you actually don't have to do as much. So imagine all the busy work that we're doing that we could let it chill, that we could surrender, that we could, you know, just we expend so much energy on this guessing game and this hustle, but it does not have to be that hard. So another thing that I want to talk about is the desires of the flesh versus the desires of the spirit. So I actually, when I started kind of transitioning from Chakra Girl, New Age content to talking about more God-centered stuff, this was one of the first things that I talked about, and I framed it as conscious manifestation and looking at God desires versus ego desires. So this, we're saying desires of the flesh, desires of the spirit, and that is literally in the Bible. So I feel like I had that information come to me before I even read the Bible. It's actually wild. I feel, and let me know, you guys, DM me. I want to know if this has happened to you as well. Before you read the Bible, did you start to get an understanding as if someone was putting understandings in your head, and then you read the Bible and you're like, oh, this is what, for some reason, I was starting to think this way. I was starting to have this information pour in. I had so much of that. Like, God was sending me this information, and I was starting to have these biblical concepts come into my head without even reading them. So, not gonna pat myself on the back, because God did that, you guys. God did that. Okay, so I'm going to read, okay, you guys, I like paste all the scripture in, and then I don't say from where it is in the Bible. I forgot to. Anyways, so this is a long one, so I'm just going to read it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So I'm going to pause there. So think of the things that you want in your life, and then the things that you do that are your desires that stop you from doing the bigger things. So I'll use the example, say you want to buy a house and start a family, but you keep shopping and you're like addicted to shopping. You keep buying these things. So the desire of the spirit might be to have this home and this family, but the desire of the flesh that is combating and going up against and opposing your real desire is that egoic desire to have to buy everything because you think it means something about you if you have that new outfit. So they're going to oppose each other. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit will oppose each other. And this is where I think mainstream manifestation gets it so wrong, is that they really focus a lot on the desires of the flesh. You could be traveling the world and going on these first class vacations and buying these purses and doing, you guys, I was so guilty of demonstrating that life and glorifying that life. I repent, you guys. I repent. But I think that the reason that this whole New Age spirituality has caught on is because the devil showed us what our flesh wanted. And what our flesh wanted goes against what our spirit wants. And I'm not saying you can't have both. You can 100% have both. But what are you going to make the priority in your life? You know, that's the difference. So I'll keep reading. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so what I take from this, I say math and science are of the world. And God is stronger than math and science. I really believe that the whole concept of manifestation of energy and frequencies and, oh, you send out this frequency and then you get this frequency back. I believe that is the law. That is the worldly law. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's what I think. When you are led by the Spirit, you can go bigger and beyond this basic manifestation that is ruled by math and science. Then it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Oh my gosh, sorry, you guys. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, no orgies, you guys, and things like these. So those are these desires of the flesh that are pulling us away from the spirit. So it says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So if you're practicing those things, you are above the law. You are above the if this, then that. If you put this frequency out, this is what you get back. You have this capacity to receive God's miracles that are so much stronger than that. And then it goes on to say, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And isn't that interesting? Like, they broke down all the things, the sexual immortality, the orgies, the sorcery, and really listed out all these sins. And then they relisted these ones. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. I feel like, what is Instagram all about? Being conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Okay? So if we are basing our desires based on what we see online, we are being led to these desires of the flesh that are combating our desires of the spirit. Because the fruits of the Spirit, again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you're scrolling through Instagram, do you feel any of those things? I don't feel any of those things when I'm scrolling Instagram. Maybe sometimes if you see someone that you love post something happen, but like, it's there to provoke us. It's there to really veer us off track. And it is working. It is working, you guys. I'm going to read John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay. And when he says, apart from me, you have to be living in those fruits of the Spirit. You have to be abiding by those guidelines. Because if you're not, how can you have that relationship where he's giving you the fruit?
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, white, or black seedless grapes for $1.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about, again, we're dwelling on this a little bit, but the desires, okay? So desires in the New Age are me first. The desires in the Bible are kingdom first. So I actually just watched this video on Instagram. This guy kind of goes around and interviews these old people, asking them what their biggest regrets are in life. And every single one of them say, I focus too much on the material. I focus too much on making money, having a big house, having this, having that. And I wasted so much time because that is a very me first. No one said, I regret spending so much time helping people or spending time with people I love. Like, when you're putting the kingdom and those fruits of the Spirit and other people first, then you have so much less stress in your life. So Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want to do a full episode on this because this is one of the first messages that started coming through to me. Again, before I even read the Bible, I had messages coming to me that say, kingdom first, kingdom first, kingdom first. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So again, if you find your joy and satisfaction in God, your desires will align with his will. Your desires are going to start to change and then he will be able to fulfill them because you're not going to be asking for things that aren't meant for you or that are actually going to go against your will. You're asking for things that are going to align with what he wants. You're going to ask for more peace in your family. You're going to ask for more peace in your heart, more joy, more bliss, more peace rather than more Chanel. So, you know, that's what God wants to give you. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So this is where the concept of the kingdom really comes in. The classic line from the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we can get really excited about the concept of the kingdom coming and make that our most exciting thing, that is how we align our desires with God. You know, God's will and the kingdom have to be more important to you than your worldly desires. So we have to trust and surrender to God's will, knowing that it's better than our own desires. When the kingdom comes, honey, when we are living in heaven on earth, nothing will matter that you wanted in the worldly realm. So we surrender those desires because they don't matter unless it's going to make the whole world better. So Luke 9:23 says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So the concept of denying oneself is denying your flesh, denying those soul desires, denying this identity that you think you have to keep up to on Instagram, denying your ego. Like there's the story in the Bible about the rich man and God says to him, you have to sell all your belongings and come follow me if you want to be in the kingdom. God doesn't say that to every rich person. You don't have to sell your things. But if he said it to that guy because he was putting those things before God. He was making those things his identity. But your identity is not in material things. So you have to deny. And this was such a big part of me coming to God, was that I had to tear down my entire identity. You guys, I was chakra girl. That's who I was. You know, I had to tear down this, and I still don't know like how to brand myself online now because I'm not a brand. So it's hard now for me to like show up on Instagram because I'm like, I'm not like, that's not who I am anymore. And it's so funny because that tear down of who I thought I was so hard, but was so freeing at the same time. That was really denying myself. And I think that's what God had me do. He had that guy sell his belongings. He had me take down my identity. And wow, the thing that I thought was holding me up, the thing that I thought was making me interesting or cool or relevant or whatever, it didn't matter. Like it really didn't matter at all. It wasn't real. So I want to read from just a little bit more about the kingdom. In Revelation 22:1-5, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the streets of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, which with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So this is just painting this beautiful picture of what the kingdom will look like. And I don't know, I'm excited for that. Like, I'm just, I hope, I mean, I pray that we are around for this. So another thing on comparison, because they really drove that home, that is not good. James 4:2-3 says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you asked wrongly to spend it on your passions." So again, the reason we have darkness in our lives and do bad things is because we are wanting things that are not needed and that are not actually going to make us happy. Okay. I have so many notes, you guys. This is going to be, it's either going to be a long episode or we're going to have to split her into two pieces because there's a lot going on here. So the next thing I want to talk about, in the New Age, they talk a lot about purpose. Great. That's a good concept. In the Bible, it's really like God's will for your life. In the New Age, it's really like your purpose, what lights you up. But sometimes God's going to ask you to do something that's not necessarily what you thought. Look at me. Look at me now, you guys. I don't even know if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm starting. I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know where it's leading. I don't know God's will for me in the long run. It's going to probably keep gaining layers and layers and layers. But I do know that you have to take action when you get guided, and you'll know that you're being guided because it will feel good. It will come from Him. It will be from your relationship with Him that the idea comes in and that the action is laid out for you. So Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So if you're meditating on the word day and night, that is when you will be guided to this prosperous life and your will. Let's take a step back. How do you meditate on the word? It's actually, so like in New Age meditation, it's about clearing your mind. In biblical meditation, it's about repeating scripture and feeling it. The words are alive in the Bible. I really feel that way. So if you're repeating this scripture, you're ingraining it into your heart and ingraining it into your spirit, and it becomes a part of you. God's word is imprinted in you so that you have that energy within you. You have His energy within you, and you can start to feel the guidance more clearly because you have that connection. So Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Again, standing in the word, meditating on it day and night. Psalms 37:4-5, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act." It's written there. It is the truth, you guys. Jeremiah 17:7-8, "Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. He does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Again, if you can just keep that mind connected to God. I'm not saying bad things will never happen. I'm not saying spiritual attack won't happen. I'm not saying you won't make missteps. But there is such a grounding, like confident, peaceful feeling about knowing that you are saved, that you are safe, that you are meant to be fruitful. Another thing I want to talk about is the concept of, in the New Age, there's really this desire for excess and you know, abundance. In the Bible, abundance is described in a different way. And this is interesting because the word contentment was something that always came to me as well. And I would always say, we're not striving for ecstasy. We're striving for contentment, because ecstasy creates volatility. If you go up really high, you're going to crash down really low. If you're in a place of contentment, you're in this steady place of peace. So in the Bible, it's very clear that things in moderation are permittable. Like, simple pleasures are encouraged by God, but the excess is what creates sin. Too much food, too much sex, too much wine, but a little bit of food, a little bit of good food, a little bit of wine, a little bit of sex with your partner, well, your husband, is not a sin, and it is encouraged, you know? But we are such gluttons. And I think the whole online thing about manifestation and abundance and blah, 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 it's actually like about excess and gluttony and overconsumption. But that is just such the opposite of what we're meant to be doing. Like, we're meant to be content. We're meant to be in a state of peace, not in a state of volatility. So 1 Timothy 6:9-10 says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. It's not saying you can't want money. It's not saying you can't desire to have a little bit more money. But if you love money more than God, more than peace, more than whatever, you are going to fall into so many traps. Ecclesiastes 3:12-13 says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful, to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So we're meant to eat and drink, you guys. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, okay, I read these out of order. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. So being content with what you have is going to help keep you away from those desires of the flesh. In New Age manifestation, they talk about creating a vision, like a vision board, and you're supposed to obsess over it and look at it every day and all these things. In the Bible, you pray and surrender. And I think, again, this is one of the biggest downfalls of New Age manifestation, is the controlling and the obsessing. Because that, again, it leads to taking actions that are misaligned with the fruits of the Spirit, which are peace, kindness, joy, gentleness, all those things, and lead us to those like fleshy, sinful actions and desires. So 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. And this is similar in manifestation. Like, if you ask, you shall receive. And if you put it out into the universe, then it'll come back. Like, similar, but the difference here is it has to be according to God's will. If it's according to his will, he hears us. So now when I pray for something, it's, if this is according to your will, or if you will, because I don't want something that's not a part of my big plan, because I've had that. I see that it gets taken away. It doesn't last. Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace that exceeds anything we can understand. I love that line so much. The peace really exceeds anything we can understand. I wouldn't be here doing this, putting my life towards this, if I didn't have this peace, because on the outside, my life, if you look at it in a worldly sense, is not as good on paper as it was when I was running Chakra Girl. It wasn't. So it isn't. But the peace, I can't understand it. I cannot understand the knowingness that this is the right path. This is the truth. So just know that when you lay it all down and surrender it, that is so much more peaceful than trying to control and obsess over it. Because at the end of the day, again, I've said this before, you can make plans, but God establishes your steps. In Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. James 4:13-15, come now, you who say today or oh, we already read that one. Psalms 19:105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, so I love this piece because a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you're holding a lamp to your feet, you're only seeing the next step. You're not seeing 20 feet ahead of you. Yes, it's lighting the path, but if you're holding that lamp at your feet, you are only seeing what's one step ahead of you. We get into this space, and I feel like in New Age spirituality, especially because there's psychics and there's tarot cards and there's all these things to guess what's going to happen in the future, and we become so obsessed with that rather than just listening to God and trusting and taking that next step. So we're missing this next step. We're not paying attention to the lamp at our feet. We're looking way ahead at us, way ahead of us where it's still dark, and trying to get answers that we don't need right now. We just need that next step. But again, that comes from lack of faith. And this anxiety and this needing it now and this trying to control everything. So in the New Age, there's the law of cause and effect. In the Bible, there's the concept of sowing and reaping. So in Galatians 6:7-8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So again, if all your desires are fleshy, you're going down a dark path. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So sowing and reaping is not just about, okay, follow God and everything great will happen to you. It's also about generosity. Are you living for just yourself and your ego and the things that you want for yourself? Are you living for the kingdom? Are you living for the people you love? Are you living and helping people around you? Because that, you know, God wants to help you when you're helping others. And I just love the whole parable of the sower. And I'm going to read it. It's very long. Then we'll dive into it. So he said, and he told them many things. This is Jesus in parable, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And so what he's saying on this is, if your foundation is on God, that's your soil. If you're tending to your soil, then you will produce grain 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. If you have shallow soil, then the birds are going to come up and devour the seed. If so your foundation, if it is in God, if it is in the fruits of the Spirit, if it is not based on these fleshy desires, then you're going to have the seeds that God sends you planted more deeply. And in church this week, actually, the pastor said, he was like kind of tricked the audience. He's like, so who's the farmer? Who's the sower? And everyone said, Jesus. Jesus is planting the seeds. He's giving you the seeds and giving you the blessings. And it's up to you to, you know, and your soil to let them grow. But like, we are also the farmers. We are also the sowers. We are also out there planting seeds. And if we're planting them in the right place and tending to the right soil, then that's when we're going to have that fruitfulness. So, okay, the next topic, you guys. New Age really believes in the concept of like magic, but the Bible believes in the concept of faith. So it's like magic and manipulation versus faith and miracles. That's kind of how I'm seeing it. So the term used for sorcery in the New Testament is from the Greek word pharmakeia, which is so interesting, you guys. Like, it looks like pharmacy, but with a K. So, hey, like, it's fake. Just like how pills are giving you fake band-aids on your health, sorcery is giving you a fake band-aid on the reality that you're trying to create for yourself. So pharmakeia does refer to the use of drugs, potions, spells, or occult arts for magical or sorcerous purposes. It involves the attempt to manipulate spiritual or supernatural forces for personal gain or control. So a lot of the New Age stuff that we're doing is for personal gain or control. Control over your reality, over your situation, over the people around you, over your bank account, over whatever it is. So when we think of sorcery, like, that sounds like a sin to me. That sounds demonic to me. And in ancient times, like, sorcery was associated with paganism. And the Bible strictly says that that is a worship of false gods, that that is one of the biggest sins. So if we're trying to evoke these supernatural powers or like manipulate spiritual forces for various purposes, whether it's healing or divination or control or money or whatever, you know, the Bible would say that that is demonic. But again, in everything I've listed so far, there is a biblical way to receive miracles. It just comes down to our intention. So we are not, okay, we've got a little bit more to go. I was going to be like, let's split this into two episodes. We're just going to keep going, you guys. Okay, so there is a little warning in the book of Revelation. So it's Revelations 9:21 and 21:8. I don't know why it's the same. So it says, in these verses, sorcerers are listed among those whose actions lead to judgment and exclusion from God's kingdom, highlighting the serious spiritual consequences of engaging in sorcery. So it's very clear in the Bible. And again, like, I want to do a whole episode on things that I read in the Bible that made me turn away from New Age, because I did not know, I did not see it this way. I did not see these practices as being dark. You know, I thought this was like white magic. But whatever we're doing that has an egoic intention is a sin, and trying to manipulate God's will for our own personal gain, that can't be good, you guys. It can't be good. So again, just to like, we'll summarize in a bit, but I just hope you guys are seeing, like, there is a way to pray and receive, and that is very different than this whole New Age manifestation situation. And I'm not saying, like, if you've been trying, listen, I did it for years. I'm not saying you're demonic and you're going to hell if you've been doing these manifestation things. No, I'm saying shift the perspective, shift the intention, shift the way you're doing it, shift the fleshy desires and focus on the soul desires, spirit desires. Like, this is all like, it's like there's so many similarities. I just feel like there's so many similarities, you guys. But the difference is huge. The difference is so big. So yeah, do we maybe need to repent? Probably. If we've been doing these things, I believe we do. I've done it. I've repented. I've listed out all the New Age things that I did that were manipulating the reality, that were trying to change God's will, that were trying to overrule my situation. Like, and I repented for all of them. And when I say I felt so light after, I felt like convulsing of like release. And I have not had sleep paralysis since I did that. So I used to have sleep paralysis, literally like demons haunting me in my sleep and suffocating me and trying to kill, like crazy shit, you guys. I probably shouldn't be swearing. But once I did this repentance, I have not had that for months. And I used to get it all the time. And there were certain places I would get, I'd always get it when I went to the cabin. I would get it if I drank a little too much wine, which again, a sin, yeah, repent. I would get it if I woke up in the middle of the night and then fell back asleep and was in that kind of lucid half sleep, I would get it. I used to get it all the time, probably at least once every 2 weeks. And I have not had sleep paralysis or any demonic visits for months, you guys. Ever since I did that massive repentance. And if you don't know how to slay your demons, we did a whole episode on that. I think it was episode 7 or 8 on slaying demons. I highly suggest doing it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Again, we don't need to manipulate. We don't need to control. We have that faith. If we trust, if we stay in God's word, if it's his will, it will happen. And if it's not, we don't want it. So I want to talk more about the covenant. So New Age talks a lot about karma. Bible talks about the covenant. So in Psalms 23, oh, it's so good. I'm going to read the whole thing. I repeat this every single morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I shall not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So this is a psalm of David. And because of David's faith and obedience and his personal relationship with God and God's covenant promise to him that is also to us to bless and protect his believers, that is what the Bible says. All of these things will happen. Anoint my head with that oil in front of my enemies, honey. Let that cup flow over. Like, I love that. And that is what is for us. And I also just love the saying, like, if it's not good, then it's not over. If it's not good, then God's not done with it yet. You'll know when the situation is at this point where you're at the feast before your enemies, when it, you know, you'll know when you're at that point and you'll look back and you'll be grateful for the time that you're in right now, no matter how dark, no matter how scary, that time is coming. That redemption is coming. He will make up the time that you lost. He will let you rest in the green meadows. He will renew your strength and guide you along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Like, that is why you can walk through those dark valleys and not be afraid. So that is, you know, the covenant that we have that was given to us when Jesus died on the cross. That is ours. We can believe in that. We can believe that everything is for us and God is for us and God wants the best for us. And that is what is going to happen for us if we just surrender. So let's summarize here. So if we were to describe what is biblically accurate manifestation, or to use a different term, moving over, surrendering, letting miracles happen. So firstly, you need to acknowledge God as your creator and like the only creator of things in your life.
And the only creator of anyone and anything's life, you need to create a connection with God and accept his covenant to live his will and put him first in exchange so that you can access all of the kingdom's fruits and the fruits of the spirit, the freedom, bliss, love, kindness, gentleness, all those things. You need to really take note of the desires of the spirit, repent the desires of the flesh, and get really clear on like how important the kingdom is to you. How important is God's will to you? Make that so important to yourself and surrender to it. Surrender to God's will. Like, what do you need to do to please him? I'll do a full episode on this as well, like on God's will and purpose and all these things. But we know God wants us to be of service. He wants us to spread the gospel. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to be compassionate and kind. Start there. Start by bringing kindness into the room. Start by talking about God. Start by being of service to people. Start by not being selfish. Start by just doing the right thing. And slowly and slowly and slowly, like, that changes your life if you just keep taking those steps. So build that relationship with God so that you can seek and hear his guidance and understand your gifts and trust his timing, that it's going to all happen on God's time and perfect timing. And have that contentment and that gratitude no matter where you're at right now. And pray for what you want in faith and surrender. Surrender it. Surrender it and trust and have that faith. Keep tending to your soil every day, tending to your relationship with God, and just understand the covenant. Understand it. Read the Bible. Like, meditate on the word. Like, that's it, you guys. That's what you need to do. If that was all you did, you would not need a vision board. You would not need all these other things. I don't think vision boards are demonic. I'm going to put that out there. I think having a clear vision of like things that you want in your life, like as long as it's not all flesh desires on there. Like, again, like if they're actual desires of the spirit and you look at your vision board and it paints a peaceful picture, not like an egoic picture, then that's all good and fine. So let's answer the question, is manifestation demonic? And the answer is, the way that it is online, for most people, if you're doing it in that fashion, yeah, I think it is. But there are shifts you can make. There's alignment with God to be had. And that's the truth. That's how you make it happen, you guys. Okay, wow. I just looked at the – I should have been back here the whole time. I'm like, looks like when you're looking at a doorknob. Anyways, hopefully you're listening to the audio and not watching the video, because that was like real up close and personal. Anyways, that was a lot, you guys. I hope that you are excited for this new perspective. I hope that – don't feel guilty. Don't feel shame. Don't feel anything. If you've been doing it the wrong way, just repent and be like, God, show me how you want me to do this. Like, show me how to work with you in prayer and in faith and in surrender. And he will show you. He'll show you the scripture. He'll come across a TikTok or something. Some light bulb's going to go off and he'll make sure that it does. So just ask. Just ask. All right, you guys, let us know on Instagram how you like this. Share this episode if you loved it. Please rate us 5 stars and leave a friendly comment. Subscribe. It makes such a difference, you guys. And yeah, share this. If that's, hey, you want to do something for God today, share this podcast. Open up someone's eyes to shift them away from the new age. Start to really claim that you are a follower, or that you're dabbling, or wherever you're at. You know, let me be the vessel to help you with that. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. And yeah, message me, DM me. I'm here for you guys. Love you. See you next week. Bye, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, white, or black seedless grapes for $1.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.